Amen. And good morning and welcome again to those of you, brother, your family. It's a joy for us to, for you to be with us today. I hope everyone is, sir, Mr. Klaus, it's good to see you. Yes. It's been a beautiful day. I hope that everyone is enjoying and make use of the sun. Had a wonderful time with our brother and our sister, Joanne and Derek, yesterday. In the sun, when it's summer, dark-skinned people like me, we go and hide under the tree. And our fellow brothers, they sit out in the sun. And sisters, so we're cheering one another. I'm sitting in the shade, and the rest of the guys are enjoying the sun. Anyways, today what I want to do is just follow up from last week about standing. I don't know why this word keep coming to my mind this whole week, this whole month, about standing firm and stand. But today I want to focus on two scriptures, two points I want to point out today. And last week we talked about Paul's exhortation to the Ephesians. He said to them, after all you've done, all these things, in Ephesians chapter 6, he said, stand firm. Stand firm. Beginning of chapter 6, he said, finally, be strong in the Lord. In the Lord, we are strong. I keep saying that. And we are not strong when we are not in the Lord. And then he went on to talk about that we fight not against flesh and blood. There is a battle going on. When we fight people, We lose the fight. Paul is saying to us that our battle is more than just the physical conflict. We have a spiritual forces at work. And he reminds us very clearly, even Jesus himself, he said in John chapter 10, verse 10, he said, you have an enemy. And he will gossip about you. He will try to discourage you. That's all he's going to do. Yeah? No, he didn't say that. He said, he come to steal and kill and destroy. That is his nature. So the worst thing that we can imagine done to other people, we know what Jesus is talking about, that the nature of the enemy is worse than that. It's not just want me to feel discouraged for the rest of my life, having up and downs day every day. But he wants to take me out. He wants me not to know the truth of all that God did for me through Christ Jesus. And the book of Ephesians that we've been studying, we see the mighty works that Christ did for me. How he chose me. How he adopted me and you. And how he extended his mercy towards us instead of judgment. How he included us in his family. How he lavished his love. How he poured out his Holy Spirit as a seal for those of us who belong to him. Not only that, but also as a guarantee. A bond that he will come back to bring to completion all he promised that he will do for us. We were outside, and he has brought us in, and we become part of the blessings. He has brought in the Jews and the Gentiles and made these two become one. And also in chapter 2, he said that we are all being built together to be the dwelling place of the Spirit of God. Amen? Chapter 1, 2, 3. And then the last three chapters, he speaks about what our role is as believers. It speaks about unity. It speaks about loving one another. Beautiful stuff, yeah? And then after all those things, he come to chapter 6, and he said, finally, be strong, because everything that I told you here, you have an enemy that will try to cause havoc to everything that Christ has done. Not Christ has done, but the knowledge and the awareness of what Christ did for us. He says, I love you. The enemy says, no, he didn't. And how he said, now finally be strong in the Lord, knowing all these things that Christ did. Put on the armor of God. Yeah? Helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, sword of the Spirit, equipped with the word of God. He said, the shoes ready to spread the gospel. What else? Did I miss something? The what? The belt of truth, that every single day we know the truth, we live in the truth, we walk in the truth, not only the truth about God, but truth about how God sees us. Yeah, and he said, finally, be strong. He said, you know, put on the breastplate of righteousness, living a holy life, a good life, a righteous life, a blameless life. He said, because the enemy, so he said, so that you can stand against the schemes, the wheels, the strategies, the plans of the enemy, his fiery darts, you know, he shoot one little arrow at us, we get discouraged. You know, shoot one arrow at you, you're fearful. Shoot one arrow at us, we start fighting. So he said, put on these things so you may be able not only to guard yourself, but also to detect his schemes and what he's doing, that we can identify, there is something here that is not from God, that is at work here. We need to stop. Put a stop right into it right now. If I'm thinking a negative thought about somebody, yeah, or maybe something that said, wait a minute, I love this man. I shouldn't be thinking negative things about this person. What do you do? Stop right there. Lord, I'm sorry. I pray for this man. I pray for this person. I pray for your blessing. Forgive me. Continuously, that is our everyday life. Yeah, put on the armor of God so you know what to do. But I want to focus on this verse today. Verse 15 says, be very careful then on how you live. Not as unwise, but be wise. Making the most of every opportunity. Because the days are evil, therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Yeah. Understand what the Lord's will is. Be very careful. So every time when Paul said, be very careful, that means it's very important. That he's warning the people of Ephesians. He's not pointing his finger. No, he said, guys, I want you to be careful of this area here. Yeah? Watch out. So there is this incredible love that is coming from the spiritual father of the early churches that is exhorting them. You know, he's not coming with hard words. He encouraged the church to stand up, you know. He said, be very careful. You know, it's like he's talking to all of us. He's looking at us. Oh, a coach that is looking at us in the eyes. Guys, you are losing the fight, yeah, and he's looking at us in the eyes. You need to change your tactics. You need to be aware of this. You need to be aware of them. That's what Paul is saying to the church. Be careful how you should live. Don't be unwise. Oh, okay. So they were unwise before. Making the most of every opportunity. Every day that God gives us is an opportunity to do things right and the right way. Amen? That he give us a chance. If I do this wrong this time, next day I'm going to do it right. Yeah, make every effort. He said, I may be doing this, then I need to change this way. Imagine if we do that every day throughout the year. We get better in everything. We change people. The transformation will be great. One of the principle of us standing firm in who we are, it is our willingness to realign ourselves to the principles of God. Amen? I can come to church every day. I can go to Bible study every day. If I am not willing to adjust myself and realign myself with God, which means submission, then no matter what I'll try, I can do all the Christian activities. I will still be trailing. I will still be vulnerable in some areas. God speaks to us because he wants us to grow. And that's what Paul is writing to the Ephesians. He wants this church to be an impacting church. He wants this church to make an impact in that region. And he's speaking to these amazing Christians, Gentiles, who used to be pagans before. And he's reminding them that they have changed, that they are new people, new creation. You are no longer what you were before. Leave it. Leave the lifestyle there. Leave the way you used to think. Let it go. It's the waste of time and emotion just dwelling in the past. It's a waste of time doubting yourself. He's saying to them, be very careful how you live, not as unwise, but making most of every opportunity. And he warned them, why? Because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand the Lord's will, what the Lord's will is. Every day of our lives that we are walking, living our lives in the company and in the presence of God. Now, that's one way that Paul exhorting the Christian in Ephesians when he says, be careful, that means it's very important. Pay attention. Making most of every opportunity. Somebody was complaining the other day, oh, I'm very lonely. I have a very good friend of mine, and sometimes I felt, you know, why? It'll be great that God will just give us an opportunity. Let's come with a heart of complaining and let's just complain whatever we want to complain about. Yeah? And let's compete who complains. And many times we let that, because complain and worry, they come into our lives without permission. They will invade our hearts and our minds. Paul is saying here to God all those things. So as I talked to my friend today, the other day, he said, I'm lonely. That's all he's saying. I said, my brother, after I listened to him, I said, this word, dude, there are thousands of people in your district. Stop complaining and start building new friends. Oh, okay. Go for it. If you're lonely, there's about billions of people around the world. Connect with people, make friends. Paul is saying, make use. Yeah, be careful how you live. Be wise, but make the most of every opportunity. Find relationship, build relationship. You know, and then you got to, thank you. Because sometimes we're caught up in the little things, that those little things became a little things. The most important thing, it became the stumbling block for us moving forward. Stand. Be careful how you live. Not be unwise. That's part of being standing. Part of us stand as Christian is to be careful. Part of us standing as Christians is not to be unwise, but be wise. Part of us standing as Christian is making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Part of our standing, he said, by not being foolish in our decisions, things we say or our action. And part of our standing is make every effort to understand what the Lord's will is in your life. The lot of sense, the lack of sense of purpose comes because many of us Christians, including myself as I speak, we don't ask God what he wants. We don't trust him that he has plans and the best interest for our lives. Amen. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Part of our standing is those things. Be careful how we live. Part of our standing is said, do not be unwise, be wise. Part of our standing as believers is taking the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Part of our standing is understanding what the Lord, what the will of the Lord is. So, the last part I want to share with us is standing together. And that's from the book of Acts, chapter 4. I love this story, because we can learn from the believers, the early church, in how they deal with situation around them. Here in verse 3, I just run through what happened. In chapter 3 of the book of Acts, we see the growing of this of the early church. God pour the Holy Spirit. People are coming to the Lord. People are coming in to faith in Christ Jesus. And then you see Peter and John, the apostles, begin to preach the message of salvation. So not only that, the early church, they were gathering in houses, they continued to go to the temple to pray and also for gathering. And then Peter and John came across, as they were on their way to the temple, on the gate, they met a crippled man who was begging. Peter said, "Gold and silver we don't have, but in the name of Jesus, rise up." So I like the early church. When I read the book of Acts, I get excited, because the same Holy Spirit that is working there is at work here with us. Now, what happened? This news spread all around the city, and it came to the religious leaders. The story of two of the disciples, followers of Jesus, who healed, who did a miracle. And this lame man who's been there for a long time is able to walk now, and he's testifying to everybody of what Jesus was the healing that came by them praying in the name of Jesus. Peter stood up and preached to the people, who were astonished and witnessed the miracle that took place. So what happened? Peter and John were brought before the religious leaders, and they crucified Jesus to the cross. So this name Jesus is not a very popular name And then suddenly, people are standing up. Healing and signs and wonders were happening. So the religious leaders, they were uncomfortable with the whole thing. So this is the church in action in the early days. And so what happened, they brought them, set them down, and he said, who gives you the authority to speak on that name, to perform miracles on that name? And then Peter, filled with boldness, began to preach to them again and again and over and explain to them the gospel and who Jesus is. He says here that he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And he eloquently expounded the gospel, bringing the fulfillment of prophecy, highlighting that Christ is the Messiah. So, the religious leaders did not know what to do because they cannot deny the miracle, because the lame man who was begging was standing there. So they send them away. Now, before they send them away, they said something to them. They said, listen here, you two. We will let you go, but never, ever mention that name again. Ever. So they let them go. They gave them the threat. Now the church, yeah, the church, they were waiting. They heard what happened. And then John and Peter came. There was an anticipation. What happened? What's going to happen now? And they came and they share with them the threat that the leaders, religious leader gave them. They told them, we are not allowed to speak and mention the name of Jesus again. And so, you know what happened? They began to gather, sat on the table, get their pens. They started to plan what's the next plan is. The disciples, okay, plan B, we escape. We run away. What do we do now? This situation is pretty tight. Did they do that? No, they didn't. When they heard the threat, the dangers that was coming, what happened? They all stood together. And they turned their face to heaven. And this is what they say. They all declare, Sovereign Lord. They say, Sovereign Lord. You made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servants and our father David. Amazing prayer. They begin to exalt the name of Jesus. They just heard the threat that is coming. They were not scared. They didn't panic. They didn't try to flee as they did before. But they stood up. They looked to the heavens. And they declare, Sovereign Lord. Now, Sovereign Lord is a title in which you, someone with immense power. People as emperor or kings, they hold this title of Sovereign Lord. And they begin to focus on him. They begin to declare his greatness and all these things. And after they talk about as they declare of God, after they did that, then they brought their request before the Lord. So they were standing in who God is in the midst of the threat. Together. This is what they pray. Now, Lord, consider the threat that is before us and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus Christ. He says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. and spoke the word of God boldly. Amen. Something powerful when the church stand together. Things happen. Yeah? In the midst of panic, in the midst of trials, in the midst of uncertainty, that we come together as a church, stand and remember and declare the greatness of the God that we serve. Paul's exhortation to us and the lesson from the book of Acts by the early church. Standing as individual and standing together as a church. Let us pray together. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the examples. Thank you for enlightening our hearts today. We pray that you will fill us and empower us as we move further through the months and whatever we do, that we'll remember that you are there with us, that we will make most of every opportunity, that we will live wisely, that we will be discerning what your will is for our lives. We thank you in Jesus' name. We pray. Amen. For our